Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10. If we are not careful, we will fall into the trick of the enemy and look at anybody that does not look like us and become just as guilty of those that are committing the crimes against us. Acts chapter 10, beginning at the 9th verse. Verse 9 says, "And about noon the following day, as they were on the journey and they approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' 'Surely not, Lord,' Peter replied. 'I have never eaten anything that is impure or unclean.' The voice spoke to him the second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven." Justice or injustice? What is happening around the country, even in churches, as we debate whether I'm Democrat or Republican, and some of our brothers are using the pulpit to declare their allegiance to a political party rather than their allegiance to Jesus Christ our Lord. And so no matter what our president says, yes, the Bible says we ought to pray for those who are in authority against him, but you remember when David fell. And God sent the prophet to tell David, who was supporting of David, to point out the sin that David did. He went to David and made an example and told him the story. And David became furious about that. He said, "David, this is you." So it is not wrong to point out a wrong of those who are in authority. If our president says something that is inappropriate, then we ought to be able to address that. We ought to be able to address it in love. We ought to be able to address it for those who are praying for our president. But we cannot allow, whether I'm a Democrat or a Republican, to stand in front of the fact that I'm a believer. Peter goes up to the roof to pray. The story says that Peter becomes hungry, but the food is not ready yet. And so in the time of him being hungry and waiting for the food, he falls into a trance. And in this state, he sees a large sheet being lowered from heaven. And on its four corners, he sees all kind of animals. Every kind of four-legged animal, things that crawled, even the birds of the sky were on this. And he sees, and then he hears a voice and says, "Peter, get up, kill them and eat them." Peter, being a Jew, thought it offensive to even hear anything like that. It was shocking to hear that you would think that I would lower my standards so much so to eat anything. According to Leviticus 11, they had certain foods they could eat and certain foods they could not eat. Things were deemed clean, things were deemed unclean. But the trick of the enemy is to convince you of something that's really not the picture at all. It's not about standing for the flag. It's about obtaining the rights of a citizen in which we stand in support of the flag. And so Peter looks at all of these animals and he hears the voice and says, "Peter, get up, kill and eat." And his response was, "No, Lord, for my lips have never touched anything unclean." Peter says no. It's noteworthy to know that this wasn't the first time Peter said no to the Lord. Three other times he was accused of saying no. You remember when Jesus predicted his death. The word says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. But Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him and say, never, Lord. No to the Lord. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For you are a stumbling block unto me. You do not have in mind concerning the things of God, but merely of human concerns. Peter says no. And then Jesus predicts Peter's denial. You remember the story when Jesus told him, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I was risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. But Peter replied, if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, said, this very night before the rooster crows, you shall disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said likewise. And then finally, Peter's actual denial. Now, Peter was sitting on the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you also with this Jesus of Galilee. Peter denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. Then he went out in the gateway, and another servant girl saw him and said to him, this fellow has been with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while standing, he went up to Peter and, surely you are one of them on account your accent gives you away. Peter began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know the man. Remember Jonah, when he said no to the Lord, God asked him to go to Nineveh, but he refused to go. But as we can become critical of Peter, Jonah, question on the table is, have you ever said no to God? Has God ever told you to speak to someone and you said no because I don't like the way they look? Has God ever told you to give money to somebody out on the street and you said no because I don't like how they're dressed? I don't like panhandles. I don't like people begging for money. I got a job. Why can't they get a job? And so the enemy tricks you and he blinds you. And believe it, that prejudice is a blinding attempt on the enemy to separate us from the Father. If he can lie to you, he will lie to you. He is a liar, he is a cheater, he is a deceiver. And what he does best of all, he deceives the body of Christ. He makes us see something that's not actually there. And so the body of Christ has now taken a stand against the injustices, but we got to be careful not to become just as they are. We can't become prejudiced for the sake of being prejudiced. We can't become haters because they are haters. We can't stop loving because they have stopped loving. We can't be judgmental because they judge us because of the color of our skin. The enemy is trying to kill, steal, and to destroy. Last week, Wednesday, in that office, sitting, got a message that forced me to lower my head. And for a moment, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm just tired of mess. And then I heard it in my spirit. He's about to give up. We almost got him. Y'all think the enemy's playing games with you? Y'all think he doesn't want to destroy you? So I sat there for a minute. But then I got up. I got up and I laid myself right on this floor. And I said, God, no matter what you want, if you ask me for it, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm not ready to give up until you tell me to give up. And so if y'all think Satan is playing games with you, his attempt is to kill, steal, and to destroy everything that God has put in you. And if he can get you to doubt what God has put in you, that you would one day lay down and sit down and say, I'm about to give up, Satan will be able to destroy you. From the moment you lose confidence in what God has told you, There was a sale. There was a garage sale, a store of a garage sale. Man went into this garage. He said, everything he saw, it was $5. Faith was $5. Love was $5. Gossip was $5. But he came up to discouragement. It was $100. He asked the owner, everything in here is $5. Why discouragement is $100? He said, if the enemy can get you to buy into discouragement, the rest is history. If he can call discouragement in your heart, he can tear you down from there. If he can blind you that you not see what God has put in you, the rest is history. Prejudice in the church, is that something new? Y'all remember the woman of Cana? She came pleading and crying after Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The disciples having a great opportunity right now to express compassion upon this woman, but she was not a Jew. She didn't look like them. She was not from the Holy Land. She was a dreaded Gentile. And so their prejudice forced them to look at this woman. And as she cried and pleaded for the life of her daughter, surely they could have compassion, not just on her, but at least on the daughter. But what did they say? Send her away. Church, if you're not careful, you will get blinded by the sin of prejudice, so much so that when your brother or sister comes to you who does not have the same pigmentation that you do, you will say, send them away. They don't know my struggle. They don't understand what it means to kneel or to stand in front of the flag. Their family never went through it. That's the trick of the enemy. He begins to blind you, and so now I got hatred built up in me on a brother or a sister that has never done anything against me. And so she cried and she pleaded and she begged. And it appears that Jesus was on her side because the Bible says he said not a word. And so they felt justified in their prejudice. Jesus is on our side. He knows this Gentile woman has no right to come to you and ask you anything. But he was building up her faith. He already knew. He already knew. But he saw in this woman a woman that would never give up. And so what he allowed to happen was in front of the disciples to show up their prejudice. Y'all remember the woman at the well? The disciples came and they saw Jesus talking to this Samaritan. Hated the Samaritans. Matter of fact, they didn't want to go through Samaria because it was the shortest route, but they would take the long route so that they wouldn't have to be in contact with those dreaded Samaritans. And they came up and saw something that shocked them, Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. Just had this conversation with her. He told him about her past that he was already familiar with. But he told her about her future that she can have if she trusted and believed in him. He offered her something that shocked the disciples. Eternal life. That's only for our kind. That's only for the Jews. That's only for the household of Israel. You can't offer her that. That was the plan all along. It was never to divide us. It was never to separate us. It's never about black and white. It's about the enemy's tactics. It's about the enemy's tricks. It was never about the animals. He showed them animals, but this was just a metaphor. It's like if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He's not asking you to pluck out your eye. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. He's not saying actually cut it off or pluck it out. It is a metaphor. It is an example. So he's showing Peter something that's not about the animals. About those that are not of the household of faith. Livingstone, he's showing us something that's not about blacks. Oh, we ought to be proud of who we are, but it's more than that. It's more than African American. Because on that great and glorious day that when he comes back and we all meet together in that one place, it's going to be not just blacks, not just whites. It's going to be of every mankind that God himself has created. And if you can't get along with them now, how are you going to get along with them then? We must become that light that is stuck upon a hill, that when they're looking at the church to see a church's response, our response is by this. Would all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one to another. That's the church's response. Martin Luther King Jr. said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. We must be the love. We must be the light of the world, that when they see the church, they see Jesus' response. Our response to those that are calling us the N-word, our response to those athletes that are kneeling down in protest, is we do it in love. Martin Luther King Jr. also said, injustice anywhere is a threat to injustice everywhere. Church, we cannot buy into the lie because the deceiver is busy. He started out in the Garden of Eden. He began his deception for the very first time. He convinced Eve that God had not been upfront with her. Because if he had told you everything, you would have known you could be just like him, knowing both good and evil. The deceiver began to work. He convinced Eve, and Eve convinced Adam. But it was never about separating Adam and Eve. It was about separating Adam and Eve from the Father. Because once we're separated from God, then we're blinded and we'll believe any lie that the enemy will tell us. And so now that the United States is being blinded by racism and hatred and bigotry, so now on one side, the blacks, on one side, the other side, there are whites. We're about to clash, and the enemy's in the middle cheering us all on. We cannot fall into this trap. We cannot believe the lie of the enemy. Because his desire is not just separate blacks and white. His goal is to separate the body of Christ from the creator of Christ. He's trying to get us away from the Father. We were created to maintain the unity, not create unity. God created unity. But he says maintain the unity of the faith. And so we have Bishop Hearns here, who is 84 years old and who has been through some things in his life. Mother McCoy, 103 years old, who have been through some things in their life. But they're here to tell the story that the love of God still with them. The love of God compels them not to look at someone that is different from them and to hate them because of the color of their skin. So I submit to you today that what's happening around the NFL is a trick of the enemy. Even from the top of the White House, it is a trick of the enemy. Because now when I listen to him and I begin to build up a distaste or disdain because of everything out of his mouth, and I see the players kneeling down in protest, and I see the white supremacists on this side and Black Lives Matter on this side, we are being blinded by racism, and it's from the enemy. His goal is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if he can't get the church, the body of Christ, to separate from the Father's vision, then the light that you were supposed to shine, it becomes dim. It was never about black and white. It was never about Adam and Eve. It was about separation from the Father. And if I'm separated from the Father, then I won't hear what the Father is telling me. I won't see the vision of the Father. I won't hear the promises of the Father. I won't know anything that God is saying because I am blinded with the lies of the enemy. So I say that today to say, no matter what people protest, under the umbrella of the United States of America, in which we live, it's the only country I've ever lived, the only country I will live in, I am proud to be a citizen of the United States. I say that without hesitation, but I also say it's a country that needs God. I say that without hesitation to say, in order to make America great again, America must first become great. It was never great for many of us, but it does no excuse for us to stand in hatred against someone else. So we have a job in front of us today, Livingstone. Our job is not just to come here on Sunday mornings. Our job is not just to come here on Wednesday night. But our job is to go outside of these four walls and to tell a dying and a blind world that Jesus lives. And our job is to tell them that our God loves them in spite of their faults. And tell them that I was not always had it together, but God loved me and he will love you just like he loved me. Our job is to take our flags. Our job is to take the flag of Christianity outside of these church walls and to tell a dying world that Jesus is Lord. Then and only then will we see true unity, because the body of Christ will take down the titles of denomination. The body of Christ will no longer have a white church and a black church, but the body of Christ will have the church of the living God. And the church of the living God would march in the streets and tell everybody that Jesus is Lord. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. Acts 10:34, Peter gets it. Then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Livingstone, we ought to be the example. We ought to be that which is different. As the world is being divided, as the world is jumping on both sides of the divide, it is the church that must stand in the middle, grabbing the hands of those that are hating and grabbing the other hands of those that are loving, and we bring them together in the name of Jesus Christ, and we begin to love one another in the face of our enemy and tell the devil to his face. In the words of Bishop Henry Hearns, you can go to hell early.